Turning our Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 18, we want to read verse 10 as our text verse today. And our subject is the Lord, our safety and strength. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now, it doesn't take a leap of imagination, brothers and sisters, to realize that the writer is drawing us a word picture here of how the believer should see the Lord. But it's also a description of what the Lord truly is. So, we ought to be able to not only see that our Lord, our God, is everything that the believer needs for strength and for security. And it's also kind of an imperative for us and our spiritual well-being to be able to see these truths, see them with spiritual eyes, the truths about the Lord that this verse teaches us. So this is the subject we want to consider today. The Lord, the name of the Lord, is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it, and is safe. And I'm trusting God this morning will just cause you to be able to feel strength in Him and feel comfort and security in Him this morning. We're living in a time when things are really topsy-turvy. The whole world seems upside down from day to day. And have you ever realized that there are a thousand things in any given day that seem to be thorns in your flesh about trying to disturb your feeling of peace and well-being? Something to just tear you up. Well, now, I want us to be reminded that the devil has some certain and specific powers released to him today in a way that perhaps he's never had before. He's out there busy full-time and with great power upon the earth to accomplish some things as we near the end time of this state of man. And so with that release by him, who do you think that he's going to target first? The children of God that remain on this planet that are trying to do the will of God. Those that want to please God, want to be right with the Lord, and want to be settled in the things of God, feeling confident in their souls that their God is a great God. And those are the people that Satan will focus his attention on. So let's look at this verse this morning. And let's leave here strengthened in the Lord. And knowing that we have from God something we cannot have from anyone or any place else. Now I want us to notice first that Scripture is obviously referring to the character of our Lord as the great strength and source of security for believers and something that they can rely on. When this verse says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, it's talking about what names we can think of or what we usually call the names of God in Scripture. It's talking about the character of God. You know, in the Bible, there are a lot of places where the Bible talks about people making a great name for themselves. And that's what the reference here is all about. It's an allusion to what God is famous for. Now, if you go over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and verse 6, and I preached on this verse, you find several titles given to the Lord there. And we usually, when we read that verse, we think, oh, these are some of the great names of God. But I want you to go over there right now, if you will, and look at that verse and notice something about it that maybe you've never noticed before. And that is that when this list of titles is given to our Lord and Savior, the Bible says that they are the name of our Lord, not the names. Does that mean something to you? It does indeed. It ought to mean, here are titles given to our Lord that are all included in His great name. Now there are a lot more names in the Bible, a lot more titles given to the Lord that are part of that great singular name of our Lord. And that's what the writer's talking about in Proverbs. So many of the things that you think about where God is extolled in this good book, we realize that it's talking about the character of God. These things that are said about the Lord when it begins to describe His name, they are talking about the character of God. And so what we see here is this is referring to the character of the Lord. And it is to the character of the Lord we point the children of God when we begin to try to encourage them to realize that in God, in the greatness of His character, are so many reasons for why we as His people can run into Him and be saved. So first of all, this imagery in our text teaches us that we are looking at the character of God. Now the imagery in our text is taken from olden days, and we don't usually think about castles sitting in the middle of some province somewhere, and this castle having been built to protect the citizens of that province. We don't usually think that way, but that's where this image is drawn from. In the days that this is speaking about, they had a big central castle usually, which was a battlement, a fortress, if you will, in the middle of a province, and all the subjects of that king or that governor lived out there and worked out there around that castle. But when some enemy appeared on the horizon, or they got word that some military force was approaching their province, was coming to raid them or kill them or enslave them and take them away, they would all gather up the first thing they could get to hand, and they'd run to the castle and run in that castle, and they'd close it off so that the enemy that was approaching couldn't get to them. And that was the way the governor or the king of that province would protect his subjects from being destroyed or taken away slaves by those enemies that were approaching. And that's the imagery that we get here when we see that the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Just substitute there, impregnable fortress. And you've got an idea of what we're seeing in this verse. So this is what God's talking about here. And just like a strong tower that's spoken of here, the Lord is a source of safety because like a strong tower or a battlement or a fortress, He cannot and will not be stormed and conquered. That's what God, we see in our God, that He cannot be approached by the enemy and taken down. He's too powerful for that. He has all the power available at His disposal at any moment of time to stop any force of enemies that might think to come against Him. And believe me, there are some, the principalities and powers of darkness, that contemplate the idea of overthrowing God. They do. But they cannot. Not even those forces that are far beyond our imagination can do that, because He is that strong tower that we know is our Lord. And so He can't be overthrown because He has all power to Himself. And like a strong tower, also the Lord is a source of safety because He cannot and will not allow that enemy to approach close enough to His people who are therein to do them damage. That's the way the Lord works. And when we look at the imagery that God gives us here, we realize there are so many things about the character of God that are supposed to be symbolized by this strong tower that's written about. There are so many things that we can think of that could be symbolized by a castle or a fortress. When you think about God and you think about His omnipotence, the power, all power to do whatever He can, there's one thing that reminds us of that impregnable fortress. When you think about God's love, we think about how that could be symbolized by a fortress that provides everything that those that are therein could possibly need. And all they have to do is be in there and they're safe against siege. They're safe against the weapons of the enemy. They're safe against damage. They're safe against every possible thing that could come against them. And that's God, our Father, the Lord, as a strong tower that we have, as the one who loves us and keeps us. When we think about a strong tower representing God, we realize that the providences of God stand symbolically like the great walls of those mighty fortresses. The providences of God are the walls of His fortress that protect us by diverting the attacks of those who would fight against us, diverting the forces of evil that would destroy us, turning them back and turning them away. God's providences are a great wall in our Almighty Lord, the tower of strength that He is to us. We don't have a clue, brothers and sisters, how many times the walls of this great fortress, which is our God, has turned away the enemy from our lives when he would have willingly and happily destroyed us as the people of God if he could have just gotten to us. But God's providences, like the wall of the fortress, have turned back the forces of the enemy again and again. I was thinking about this and began to think about how the providence of God worked to preserve people down through history. And there are thousands of incidents where I know that God's providence has acted to protect people that He had every intention of turning the enemy back from and not allowing the enemy to damage them. You're one of those people. But as I thought about this, I looked for a good illustration, and I realized that in the life of George Washington, there were at least 5 providential incidences that literally could not be interpreted as anything but the hand of God upon him to keep him safe and bring him to the place that he would be the president of the new United States. And I saw, as I studied the life of George Washington, at least 5 of these incidents, and I want to review 3 of them. You decide yourself whether or not this is not the strong fortress walls of God's providences at work for the people that He intends to preserve. George Washington was on a trip. Well, before he went on this trip, in fact, a few years before he went on this trip, he was about 20 years old, and he caught a disease. He caught smallpox. Now today, you know, smallpox is almost unknown. But then, smallpox was an absolute guaranteed death warrant to well over 90% of all those who caught it. When people caught smallpox, you wrote them off because there was no way that a human would live through it. George Washington caught a full-blown case of smallpox and lived through it, and was restored to his strength and his health, and was in full strength and vigor after he got through that disease. That's the providence of God at work. People don't live when they're supposed to die, except that God's providence intervened. A few years later, Washington was traveling with one other individual and an Indian guide. And this Indian guide, unbeknownst to President Washington, and he wasn't president at the time, conspired with the French to murder him. This was before the colonies were formed, and while George Washington was still in the British Army. And this Indian had conspired with the French, they were beginning the French and Indian War, to kill Washington at his first opportunity. And they were alone in camp together out there, just the 3 of them, out in the wilderness. And this Indian drew a musket and shot at George Washington from 15 steps away, point blank. And this Indian wasn't an idiot. He'd been firing that musket for the French army, and he knew how to shoot it. Fired at him point blank and missed him totally. He survived it. Almost no way that he could. I could throw a rock and hit a man at 15 paces. And you probably can too. But somehow this Indian missed him at 15 paces with a loaded musket. The providence of God as a great wall protecting His people from damage. And another incident, the last one that I'll mention, and during the French and Indian War, Mr. Washington became embattled at Monongahela against the French with his little army there. And in that fight, there were a bunch of Indians hired by the French that had lined up on the riverbank in the brush as snipers and were picking off Washington's army. I mean, every shot almost was bringing down a soldier. And Washington was riding his horse through these troops, encouraging them to fight on and to get clear of this gunfire. And over on the other side of the river, and it wasn't a wide river, the French general or the French colonel, whoever he was, that was guiding this battle, told those Indian snipers to begin to focus all of their fire on Colonel Washington. And they began to fire on Washington, every one of them aiming and trying to kill him. He was never hit. After the battle was over, he had 4 holes in his coat, and he'd had 2 horses shot out from under him, but not one bullet found his flesh. Years later, a chief of those Indians that were hired by the French talked to Washington when they got together, and he told him, he said, "This is what happened. We had been ordered to fire at you and to single you out to try to kill you. And we fired at you and never were able to hit you, although our people were good shots. And we came to the conclusion, as Indians, that the Great Spirit was protecting you and you could not be killed in battle." This is what that old Indian told him years later. What was that? The providence of God, as the strong tower that He is, protected this man because He had another purpose for him. And as long as that purpose stood, he could not be killed by the murderous fire from Indians' guns, by smallpox, by an Indian shooting at him at point-blank range and other things. You know, Paul the Apostle was just starting his missionary journey, and he got to Lystra there, and some great things happened there. At Lystra in Acts 14, he healed a man that was blind from birth, or was lame from birth, and he was doing great work of God there. And some Jews came down to Lystra that heard about it and were sick and tired of the fame that was spreading about him. And they collected together a bunch of people and they stoned Paul to death. At least they thought he was dead, and it sure looked like he was dead. And the Bible teaches us there that they drug Paul out of town and left him out there on the outskirts of town for dead. And all of his brethren, all of his supporters were standing around him, I guess talking about what they were going to do. And all of a sudden, Brother Paul just got up, and away he went. Went right back to his missionary work. What happened there, brothers and sisters? Now you know, you and I both know, that Jews from long ago were well trained in how to stone people to death. It was one of their ways of rendering capital punishment. It was given to them of God to do amongst their own for certain offenses. So they knew how to stone people to death. And yet Brother Paul, for all the stoning, was still not only alive, but able to get up and walk off, not injured enough for it to even hinder his movements. What was that? The providence of God. That strong tower that He is, that wall of providence protected Brother Paul because he had more for him to do. This is the work of God. The Lord, as our strong tower, not only has protections for us, but He has weapons of warfare on the ramparts that He is that can take care of any and every enemy that we can imagine. God knows how to do it, and He has power to do it. And we as God's people need to see that with the eye of faith, if we're ever to get anywhere in our Christian growth, we have to understand that God is quite able. I remember an account in 2 Kings chapter 19 of the Assyrian army approaching Jerusalem. Thousands of them out there in the plain, ready the next day that they were going to level Jerusalem to the ground. They sent word to the king in Jerusalem, said, you know, none of the nations around us have survived our onslaught. None of the nations have been able to stand before Assyria's great forces. And right away, we're going to come in there and we're going to destroy you down to the ground. And your God cannot help you. And as they were bragging about that, and as the general of their army or the king was bragging about that, in the middle of the night, God said, angel, go down there and tend to that Assyrian army. You are to be today my enemy of the Assyrians. You are to be today my engine of defeat of the Assyrians. And that angel went down and just, I guess, walked through the camp of the Assyrians. All of their artillery laid out, all of their weapons at hand. They were laying there sleeping, thinking, tomorrow, boy, I'm going to cut me up a bunch of Jews. And all of a sudden, dead men everywhere. Next morning, when the remainder, the survivors woke up, 185,000 soldiers were dead on the ground because the angel of God passed through that camp. Why did He do that? Because He has providences to protect His people. That night, God made it His whole purpose to stop this general, this army, from doing anything to Jerusalem. That's the work of God, our strong tower. He certainly is great in all of His power. I remember the Bible teaches us in the book of Acts that there was a hyper-Pharisee named Saul that had orders from the Sanhedrin Council, the big Jew Council of Pharisees, to go around the land and destroy every church of the Lord Jesus Christ that he could find, and to kill or bring to justice, to bring for trial every Christian that he could lay his hands on. He was going around wasting churches and having children of God, the Christians, the church members, put to death. But one day, traveling down a dusty old road to Damascus, Jesus Christ, with the weapon of one word, one sentence, put his face in the dust and laid him low and finished him forever, put to death Saul of Tarsus. And out of that dead remains rose Paul the apostle, changed forever by the weapon of God, a spoken word by our tower of strength. This is the way God works. This is the power that He has. This is the strength that we should learn to trust in, believe in, and practice our life by. This is our tower of strength, our great Lord, our God in heaven. Now, I want to look last and just briefly at the fact that we need to notice in this verse also that because of the strength and protective power that God provides, we want to notice what the believer's behavior ought to be regarding this truth. The righteous runneth into it and is safe is that summary phrase that tells us what the child of God's attitude ought to be about the fact that our God is a mighty, a strong tower. What does that mean? Well, if I think it first of all means that we should everyone look to God for all the things that His character is able to provide. We don't, brothers and sisters. So many times we look somewhere else. So many times we forget that all of the character of God declares to us that He is everything we need. And all we've got to do is realize it and run to Him to have that need met. We need to remember that. Now we find a statement in Psalms 18:2 That really needs to be a companion verse to our text verse. Because this is again a reiteration, if you will, by David of what Proverbs gives in a real short statement. But look at Psalms 18:2 and notice something that God tells us there about the Lord in this verse. Look at it. He says in this verse, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." This gives us so much about the character of God. He is our rock. What does that mean to you, brothers and sisters? It ought to mean to you that He is that solid foundation that when all the rest of the world shakes, it cannot be moved. It will not so much as wiggle a little because He's that solid, immovable rock, the solid foundation upon which we rest as the people of God, bought with a price, redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are on solid footing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my fortress, this verse says. That is, He's the one that provides impenetrable protection from all the forces of the world and of evil that might attempt to attack us. You know, when our physical well-being is threatened or our emotional well-being is threatened, we very often feel totally vulnerable, like just at a moment we could be totally annihilated, destroyed. It just isn't so. But how to get to the place to realize that though the skin worms eat this flesh, yet in our flesh we shall see God. How to get to the place that for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. How to get to the place to say that it doesn't matter whether we live or whether we die, whether we suffer or whether we enjoy great things and great pleasure. We are the Lord's and He is ours. And we are in Him and He is in us. How to get to that place? We need to get to that place because we are protected by the Lord. He will not suffer our foot to be moved. And by that, the Bible's talking about the fact that we will not, if we trust in Him, we will not have to step back one step. We'll not have to sidestep the enemy. We'll not have to jerk away from attack. If we are founded in Christ and know we're in that fortress, that we're in that strong tower, we can stand and face the enemy and let God fight the battle for us because He will. It's when our faith wavers that we get in trouble and we end up hurt spiritually. And hurt maybe physically or emotionally, but not if we stand fast in the Lord. He is my deliverer, this verse says. That means that He's the one who can and does snatch us out of every peril. We've got this huge thing about dying and we've got this huge thing about being sick. We have, brothers and sisters. Let's face it, the old flesh crying out. It is. And it's a dreaded thing to develop a mortal, a deadly disease. It's a terrible thing to be laying immobile somewhere knowing that you're dying and you're thinking clearly, but you can't do anything with your body and you can't stop the force of death coming upon you. It's a scary thing. But when we realize that the Lord is our deliverer, we realize fully what that means. These things become less fearful to us because sickness is just a transition phase to another spiritual place and death is just a transition place to another life. And if we just get hold of that, we realize it. We can say, He is my deliverer. He is my strength, this verse goes on to say. That is, He's the source of all meaningful strength. I think a lot of times we get our weakness, our weakest, when we try to confide or trust in our own human strength. But when we realize that our strong tower is our strength, then we're able to get beyond this thing of, well, I've got to find some place to find some comfort, some solace. I've got to find some place to get some strength to get through this. No, you don't have to find some place to get some strength to get through this. Your strength is in the Lord. He is your strong tower. And when you realize that, you run to Him and are safe. He is my buckler, this verse says. That means He's my body shield. My body shield when attacks or war is suddenly come upon me. You know, I know that we all have physical fears. We have fears about physical self. We the only thing we have a reference point about to carry on this life with is this body. That's our reference point for the living the life that we live right now. And so when the body is threatened, we get worried. And we get worried about our... And we get obsessed sometimes with our own mortality. But this verse says He's my buckler. That means my body shield. And He is. Whatever He wants your body to experience, it's up to you to submit to it and let Him take you there. Because He has a shield that He's wrapped around you that will take care of every other thing that could possibly do the kind of harm to you that you fear. And so He is my buckler. He is the horn of my salvation. That means that He's the engine of attack upon my enemies for the purpose of accomplishing my rescue. That's what that means. Yesterday I watched a couple of rhinos fighting. You think about a horn? That's about the first thing you think about in animals. 4 foot or better, or at least the biggest ones are 4 foot long. And they fight with them. They fight more than other rhinos. I watched one fight a pickup or a big Land Rover truck. And boy, I'll tell you what, they can do some lifting and some tearing and some damage with that horn. They can move things. They can turn over cars and stuff like that. Now I watched some elephants. You know, those tusks are teeth, but they're a kind of horn. And I watched some elephants fight with one another. And I watched some elephants turn over vehicles. And I watched some elephants tear down big trees. I just ride them over using those tusks. And I thought, man, what force, what power in those horns. Now you magnify that 100 million times. And give that horn to God, because that's what this is about. And realize that He is that humongous, imponderable, powerful horn that He is. He can move mountains. Brothers and sisters, our God with that horn, that engine of warfare, that engine of attack that He is, He can move worlds. And He is our horn of salvation. That means that whatever could possibly interfere with you being preserved by Him, that great engine of power and battle that He is, will swipe it out of the way. It will not be there. It cannot be there, because the omnipotent God is the horn, the battle engine of our salvation. Well, one quick word about this thing of our response to the fact that God is our high terror tower. Our first alarm response, I believe that this verse teaches us, our first alarm response ought to be to run to God. When we get alarmed, let's run to God. I know that we sometimes are tempted to run somewhere else, run some worldly thing for help. We start looking for worldly solutions to our times of terror. But that's not where we should run. The righteous run into this great tower, which is our Lord, and in that tower they are safe. And when we remember that, when trouble looms, let's run to God. And this running implies don't have any hesitation about it. I think we get more trouble waiting around for something to happen when terror begins to strike, when troubles begin to come. We get in trouble waiting around for some other solution or being uncertain about what we're going to do about it, when in fact, if we without hesitation, as speedy as possible, would run to God, the Tower of Strength, we would have a solution at once because we'd be safe there. And God would make sure that we knew it. I've watched rabbits out in the field. You know, if any of you that's ever watched these smaller mammals, when a hawk or a vulture flies overhead on a sunny day and that big shadow passes by near where they are, have you ever noticed that it always perks them up? They'll do something. Those small mammals, especially rabbits, they'll do something. And I've seen two specific kinds of behaviors among rabbits when that shadow would pass over near them. Some of them would hunker down to the ground like this. And some of them would just take this boom leap right over into the thicket, just like that. And you know, I've noticed something else about those rabbits. That rabbit that hunkers down there and freezes up, very often there's a big old marsh hawk just waiting for something like that. And boom! He's got that rabbit and he's got his dinner. That rabbit that when he sees that shadow, that fear strikes him, what does he do? He leaps to safety. Right there. Jumps right in the thicket that quick. That rabbit survives. And you know, that's the way we are. A lot of times when the shadow looms, if we hunker down, freeze up, not knowing what to do, we're liable to get hit. But if we just jump to God, leap into the strong tower of God, call upon the Lord, Lord, I'm here with You. Now help me with this fear. Immediately, God will do wonders for our souls, for our lives, for our confidence. He will do wonders for making us feel good and comfortable with Him. So don't hesitate. And remember that this verse teaches us that there is a certainty of safety. You can be sure that you'll be safe in that strong tower, which is our Lord. You know, you can run, brothers and sisters, to a storm cellar or a basement when a tornado has been spotted in your neighborhood, and you might be safe there in that hole in the ground. And if you were in a land that was at war and you heard the torpedoes starting to walk in on your village or the bombs start to drop, you could run to the bomb shelter and you might be safe in the bomb shelter. And you could hear about a virulent disease striking your community and you could run to the hospital and get yourself an inoculation against catching that deadly disease, and you might be safe from that deadly disease. But I use might in all three of those instances because it is just a might. But listen, when you run to God, the great tower, the strong tower, the battlement, the fortress that is impregnable, when you run to God, it's not you might be safe. That verse says you are safe. And that's what we want to leave here with today. The realization that when you get in trouble, run to God. And you are safe. Not you might be safe, but you are safe. And I want to tell you something. It'll grow you in the Lord if when that trouble comes, you simply run to God and hide in He who is the great tower, the strong tower, the mighty tower, the impenetrable tower, the tower of strength that has all we need for safety and security.